The sermon title today is called The Covenant. And last week we spoke on reaching people from where we came from, not from where we are at. To always remember that we are saved sinners by the grace of God, and to extend that grace we received to other people. Today is about a covenant relationship. And actually, it may be more suited for a Valentine's Day message than what it was last week. But you know, I'm just not holiday directed. I'm Holy Spirit directed, and sometimes my messages don't always exactly line up with the holidays, and it's better that they are not. In fact, I wanted to preach this sermon on the first Sunday of the month when we were having communion, because I thought a message on covenant would be so very, very good. And if you remember that message, God changed that, and it was fire from heaven is what I preached on that particular Sunday. So we always know that God knows best. Amen. So God does it in His timing, in His will, and we need to submit ourselves to that. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 2 this morning, and that's where we're going to kick this off from. So Genesis chapter 2, it's a verse that you are very familiar with, but if you look at Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to go down to verse 24. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and it says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Husband and wives, the oneness that we have in our marriage relationship should be a reflection and also point to the oneness of our relationship that we have with God. In other words, our children should be able to look through us in the oneness of our marriage relationship, and they should see a reflection of the oneness of our relationship that we should have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to John chapter 17. John 17. The Gospel of John in 17. We're going to talk a little bit about that oneness before we move forward, but only briefly. So John 17, verse 20. John 17 and verse 20. He says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. In them, you and me, and they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." One in our thoughts, our actions, and our desires. That's what oneness looks like. So turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Moving rapidly today, Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, we look verse 7 and 9. Mark chapter 10 and verse 7. It says, "For this reason," in verse 7, "a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then that they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." This oneness of the marriage relationship is between the husband and wife. It does not include the children. Got quiet. This oneness relationship that you have with your spouse includes the woman and it includes the man. That those two, the father, the man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his own wife, and they shall become one. It doesn't include the children in that. You're one in your relationship with one another as you are one in your relationship that you have with your Heavenly Father. And it's very important that we keep everything in the proper perspective that it needs to be kept in. It does not include the children. We are to raise our kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord, making them responsible citizens in society, but they are not one with the parents. So many times we grow up and we raise our children, we want them to be our best friends, and we want to be included in all their activities, and we want to enjoy everything. It's almost like some parents live their life through their children. But your relationship, your focus is supposed to be on your wife and your wife on your husband in the oneness of that relationship, because you are the reflection of an order, that of a reflection of the oneness that you have with the Heavenly Father, so your children can look through you and see God. Just like the man, he is supposed to be the head of the household. He is supposed to be the priest of the home. He is supposed to be the godly person in home that leads the family, so the children can look through their earthly father and see who? They can see their heavenly father. No, we are not one with our children. Our children are going to grow up and they're going to go do their own thing. You realize that, parents? And they're not going to really want a lot of input from you, because they're going to want to live their own life like you wanted to live your own life. When they leave home, who do you got? Husband and wife. It's important that they stay as one through that relationship. In the child rearing, in the discipline, and all the different things that we need to do in our life, we need to be one with our spouse. This covenant relationship is unique and it is ordained by God. Now, we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. This covenant is between one man and one woman. Here in Mark chapter 10, Jesus reinforces the marriage and the institution of marriage and the covenant relationship. There is no marriage relationship outside of this one recognized by God. Just because the government recognizes something, it doesn't mean that God does. Amen? He does not. I have been waiting to speak on the covenant relationship for some time, but I just did not have it straight in my head. Some people say it's an agreement, which is true, but it's so much more. Some say it's like a contract, but not really. You can have a rental contract for a year, move out in 8 months, and you can pay the other 4 months, and you have fulfilled the contract responsibility. No, I didn't have this covenant straight until Carol and I had a disagreement. Really, it was more just some confusion over something than it was a disagreement. And this is what she said to me. Leo, sometimes I feel like what is important to me is not important to you. And I said, other than what is important to God in my relationship with Him, that what is important to you, to what that is the most important thing to me. And that's when the light bulb went off. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read this almost every first Sunday of the month for communion. And he starts reading in verse 23, and it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I had delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' For in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" We hear that word covenant. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Jesus came to save, to heal, and to deliver. He came that you might have eternal life. What's most important to you? Now listen to me. What's most important to you is what is most important to Jesus. That's the covenant relationship. And it's vice versa. What's important to Jesus, what's important to my Heavenly Father, must be and should be and is required of me to be the most important thing to me. As my wife, the things that she has in her life, what's important to her, it needs to be important to me. Husbands, you need to pay attention to that. What's important to your wife needs to be important to you. And wives, you need to listen up. What's important to your husband needs to be important to you. That is a covenant relationship, that you have that oneness in that relationship. If you're hurting, I'm hurting. And if this is important, it's important to me. But first in that covenant relationship must be the covenant that we have between us and our Heavenly Father, because every other relationship flows out of that relationship. That covenant relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father, my wife wants me to love Jesus more than anything else, because she knows if I love Jesus more than anything else, I will love her the way Jesus wants me to. Sometimes we get this all out of balance. And we think, well, this is important to me. This is what I'm going to do. This is my thing. I'm going to go do this. This is me, 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 me. And it needs to be other, 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 other. If you want to have that covenant relationship, so many things we put ahead of Jesus in our relationship with Him, because this is what's important to me. This is what I need to do. This is what I need to accomplish. Well, where's Jesus fit into this picture? Because what's important to Jesus needs to be vitally important to me. Everything in our life will flow out of the covenant relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. In the covenant relationship, we put the needs of the other ahead of ourselves. This church, we are in a covenant relationship. I have covenanted, my wife has covenanted with you. What's important to you is vitally important to me. And what should be important to me should also be important to you. But irregardless, because we are other focused. We're not focused on myself, but I'm focused on the other. I am focused on the other because that our love is an agape love, and it needs to be other-directed rather than self-directed. And a lot of marriages need to learn you gotta have other-directed love, not self-directed love. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. In the covenant relationship, we put the needs of the other ahead of ourselves. And did not Jesus put the needs of us ahead of Himself? So we look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we look at verse 39. And He went a little further. Matthew 26, I know I'm hurrying you. I'm sorry. Matthew 26, verse 39. And it says, He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, is it possible let this cup pass from me? Nevertheless, not I will, but you will. And then He came to the disciples, and He found them sleeping, and said to Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, He went away and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. For you and I, Christ was submitted to the will of the Father because of His covenant relationship with His Father. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, we look at verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, and it says, Submitting to one another in the fear of God. As a congregation, we should be submissive to one another. Do we get that? I hope we do. So church body, put the needs of others ahead of your own. Put the needs of others ahead of your own. Now look at verse 22. In verse 22 it says, Wives, submit to your own husbands as of the Lord. Is that scary? In other words, wives, put the needs of your husband ahead of yours. Now, a lot of years over the years, we've read this scripture, and I've known people that's bypassed that scripture because white women are scared of that scripture. You know how many times over the years in our pastoral ministry I've sat down with a young couple to counsel them, and the man would speak up and says, Yeah, but doesn't the scripture say she's supposed to be submissive to me? And I would say, as you are submitted to Christ. Christ has never asked me to do anything I didn't want to do. Get that? He's never asked me to do anything I didn't want to do. So as a church body, we see that we are supposed to be submissive to one another, that I put your needs ahead of mine. In a husband and wife relationship, I see that the wife puts her husband's needs ahead of herself, but then the man turns around and he puts his wife's needs ahead of his own. You see, that's how the covenant relationship is supposed to work. So when you look at verse 25 of Ephesians 5. It says, husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. And he did what? He gave himself. He laid down his life for it. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of the body of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, we see the reinforcement of marriage. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So husbands put the needs of their wife ahead of yours. And the only way that we can fulfill this goal of Christ is when we put God's desires through Christ ahead of ours. Now that's a covenant relationship. You today might say you are saved, but are you in a covenant relationship with God? I'm saved, but I still go out and do my own thing whenever I want, whenever I want to, then you're not in a covenant relationship with God. He wants the intimacy of a covenant relationship that he puts your will ahead, your needs ahead of his, and he wants you to take his needs and put them ahead of yours, his wants, his desires, to meet those needs in your life. Because everything flows out of that relationship. We as a congregation need to know this more than anything else. If you're not solid with this covenant relationship up here, then all the other relationships around you will not be solid. This covenant up here needs to be the very first covenant I have. Because I know if I covenant with God and I put his needs above mine, I do his will before mine, then I will meet the needs of other people and I will love them as I should love them and as they need to be loved. It's never self-centered, but always other-focused and other-centered. Are you saying in your life, my will be done instead of God's will be done? Oh, you might be in a relationship with God, but it's not a covenant relationship. And it will affect all the other relationships. It will affect your work. It will affect your home. It will affect your church. In our lives, in our home, in our church, let us covenant with God. Amen. If we do that, there is nothing that will stop this church. And people will be drawn to it as never before in their whole entire life because they will recognize a group of people that have something with the Heavenly Father they have never seen before. Because you're not going to find it in so many other churches. You're going to go to those churches, they're going to sing their three songs, they're going to pray, they're going to say something out of the Bible, and you're going to go home, and everybody says, oh boy, that was really a good service today. I don't want you to be excited by the words that we share or the words that I share. I want you to be excited about the Spirit of God because this church has covenanted with God. Amen. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we praise you for your goodness and for your grace today. And we thank you, Father, for everything that you have done in my life. Lord, you have forgiven me. Lord, you have saved me. Lord, you have healed me. Lord, you have delivered me. Lord, you have blessed me with eternal life. There is no way that impossible in my life I could ever repay that. But Father, I want to covenant with you. I want your will in my life. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We praise you, we worship you, and we exalt you for everything that you have done in our life, everything that you have done in our midst, and everything that you're going to do in our life and everything that you're going to do in our midst, because it's all going to flow out of the covenant relationship that we have with you. Praise you forevermore. I pray for these that are faithful and coming out, that Father, you would draw them back and you would draw somebody with them, that they would feel the drawing and the anointing of the Holy Spirit as they drive by on the road, that they cannot stay out of this place, but Father, they will be drawn to it to find Jesus, to know Jesus, and to covenant with somebody in their life that is unchanging, unmoving, and will be there forevermore. And I ask it today in Jesus' name. I pray for those that are going to be dismissed, that Father, your blessings would be upon each and every one of their lives. I pray over our business meeting that you would meet the needs of the people. And Father, we, as we covenant with you, would meet your needs that you want for us. We ask this all today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen.